Psalm 84 and the first four verses of that particular psalm, our text this morning. I'll just read them again. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that it is your word, and thank you that you are pleased to give to us the gift of your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts so that we may see and embrace the truth as you give it to us. Be pleased to do that even now in our midst, as we are with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why are we a church? What is the Church of Jesus Christ for? Why do we gather together? What is the purpose of our existence? Last week, when we asked that question with regard to each of us as individuals, we saw from the Bible that the reason for our existence as individuals was worship, that God created us to worship Him. This morning, I'm setting before you that same idea, only from the perspective of the corporate body. What is the primary reason for our existence as a particular congregation? Why did Jesus Christ bring us into existence? For worship. Yes, fellowship is important. And many church buildings today are constructed around the idea of fellowship. So there is less of the idea of the sanctuary and more of the idea of the fellowship hall. The great cathedrals of old were built so that the emphasis was on worship. And there was a sense of awe when people entered the great cathedrals. And there was a purpose to the building itself, that it engendered a sense of awe before God. And the purpose of the meeting place was for worship. Yes, fellowship is important. And yes, friendship is important. And yes, meals together are important. But the more central idea, the more central reason God calls us together is for worship. To give Him the praise and the honor He is due. To hear from Him. To offer sacrifices of praise to Him. And this is what is on the psalmist's heart, I think, as we look at the first few verses of Psalm 84. Look at them again. And understand the longing of the heart of the psalmist as he desires to come into the presence of God. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, to swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And then this section of the psalm begins with that perhaps not so familiar word, Selah, which probably notes a pause, a time of reflection, a dramatic pause. And that's where we pause in our text this morning. How lovely are your dwelling places, the psalmist says. My soul longed, even yearned, for the courts of the Lord. The dwelling places of God and the courts of the Lord. You notice the plural in verse 1. The dwelling places. And in verse 2, the courts of the Lord. The dwelling places and the courts of the Lord were the particular courts of the Old Testament tabernacle, which was built by Moses, and the courts of the temple, later built by Solomon. And if you look in the Old Testament and gather from Exodus particularly the construction of the tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle, you would note that the size of the outer court was about 4 times the size of the area in which we're now sitting. If you look at this wall back here, and you could turn around and look at the wall back there too if you wanted to, where the ceiling meets the wall, twice the length was the outer court of the tabernacle. And twice the width of where we are this morning. This is a relatively small worship area. And the entrance was on the east side, so I'd be standing at the entrance. And there were white curtains, linen curtains, we don't know the height of those curtains, surrounding that courtyard. And on the east side, on the entrance, there was a curtain that was 20 cubits, and a cubit's a foot and a half, so it'd be about 30 feet, 20 cubits wide, and that curtain was blue and purple and scarlet. And the worshipers could go inside that courtroom, and it's where we are. We're inside that court now. And that's what the psalmist is saying. How lovely, Lord of hosts, are your dwelling places and your courts. And in that outer courtroom, or that outer court, I should say, there was a large altar. You go in the entrance and you see that large altar. And then behind the altar, there was a big basin, a large basin, a laver, and on the altar the sacrifices would be performed, and the priests would wash themselves in that laver. And then in the center of this larger courtroom was the tabernacle proper. And the tabernacle proper was 30 cubits long. A cubit's a foot and a half. You got it? And 20 cubits wide. And there was, or 10 cubits wide, I'm sorry. And there was a curtain in front of this area. And the construction was kind of interesting. The construction was boards. Some of you are interested in construction. The construction was boards that were 10 cubits high and a cubit and a half wide. So they were boards like this. 10 cubits high. 15 feet high. And The boards ran down one side, and the boards ran down the other side, and in the back. And they were covered with gold. And then there was a curtain placed over the top. It was flat, like the curtain in front of the tabernacle. And then there was a curtain in front of the curtain in front of the outer court, and then there was a curtain in front of this inner tabernacle. So there was a courtyard. And then behind the second curtain was the holy place. And the priests could go in that holy place. And when they entered the holy place, on their right, on the north side, was a table. 12 loaves of bread. And on the left, there was a light, a candelabra. Would have been dark in there without that candelabra. Christ is the bread of life. Christ is the light of the world. And in that holy place, as you moved back, there was a second altar in front of a veil, an altar of burnt offering. And the priest would go in there, morning and trim the lamps and burn incense. And evening and trim the lamps and burn incense. And the incense was the prayers of the people rising before God. And then behind the second veil, in the most holy place, in the most holy place, was the Ark of the Covenant. A chest, a box. And in the box, the Ten Commandments, the two tables of stone, on which God Himself wrote the 10 words with His own fingers. And the lid on the box was called the mercy seat. And the high priest would go in once a year into the holy place, the most holy place, and sprinkle blood on the Day of Atonement. And there were two cherubim over the mercy seat, and their wings spread over the mercy seat. And this was the throne of God among the people. And this tabernacle, this place of worship, was in the center of the camp because God was the King of the people. And it was His standard that was raised among the people. That He was in the center of the camp. And the Shekinah glory of God would come down upon the tabernacle, and Moses would go out and he would meet with God. And God would speak to him from behind the veil in the most holy place. And Moses would hear the voice of God, and God would speak to him as a man speaks with a friend. What a thing to be the friend of God. This was the dwelling place of God among the people. And when you realize this, you get a sense of what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 84. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. But when David was separated from Jerusalem because of Saul chasing him around the wilderness and the armies of Saul chasing him around the wilderness, David would cry out, O Lord of hosts, how I long to be in your courts. The tabernacle and later the temple was the place of sacrifices and meetings and messages. Turn back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 29. We heard that read just a little bit ago. Exodus chapter 29. Here God gives some directions for the use of this tabernacle. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 one-year-old lambs each day continuously. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Morning and evening, continuously. Morning and evening. And this is one of the rationales for the historic Christian church to have morning, evening, and morning worship and evening worship. And that's why we do it today. And that's why there has always been a tradition among the Reformed churches, particularly, to have devotions in the morning and devotions in the evening. Morning and evening. The sacrifices were performed. And then if you drop down to verse 42, it shall be a continual burnt offering through your generations at the doorway of the tent of the meeting. You see, here we are in the outer courtyard and the altar is there before the veil going into the tabernacle proper. Verse 42, it shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet with you to speak to you there. I'll meet with you there, God said. I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated to my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister as priests to me. I will dwell among the sons of Israel, and I will be their God. You know, what a dramatic thing it is. The people of God, promised by their Savior, who brought them out of bondage, out of Egypt, and formed them into a company of people, and gave them, by His grace, this procedure to worship Him. And He said, I'll meet you there. And I'll talk with you there. And I will dwell with you. And I'll be your God. And you will be my people. Yes, God was present with the people in other circumstances. God was present with them in the wars that preceded, when they went up to Jericho and defeated the city, and the city walls fell down. And the archaeologists even confirm that the rubble of Jericho fell out, and the stones, in an amazing way, fell on those walls. God was with them. But when God said to them, I'll dwell with you, and I will be with you, and I will be your God, and He formulated this system of worship, and He came to them in glory, there was a difference. And I think we acknowledge that that's the case, that there really was a difference. And when Moses went out to the tabernacle, and God spoke to him from behind the veil, it was a little different circumstance than when he and his family were sitting at home and brewing their stew for supper. It was a little bit different circumstance. And that, it seems to me, is one of the things that we need to grasp. That the people gathered together for worship, that they heard from God, they gave their sacrifices to Him. Let's go back to Psalm 84 now. The psalmist longed for the courts of the Lord and to enter to worship Him. Again, reading from these wonderful words, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed, even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Why? Because when he went up to the courts of the Lord, it was to meet with him. and to hear from Him and to offer sacrifices to Him. And I say to you, dear friends, as we'll see working through the text in the New Testament, I say to you, dear friends, this is what we do. Praise be unto God. Why is it we come together? We come together to offer up our sacrifices of praise to God. We come to meet with Him in this circumstance. And we come to hear from Him. Psalm 84 again. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The psalmist is saying, you know, I wish I were as free as a bird so that I could go and take my flight into the inner sanctuary of God and be there with Him. When I sit in my little office at home and look out the window to one of the trees that's in our front yard, and there are no leaves there now, I can see in the upper branches of that tree a little nest. And when the leaves are in that tree, I'm sure I'll be able to crawl up in that tree and find eggs and later little ones in that nest. And when the tabernacle and later the temple was in place for a time, I'm sure the birds of the area would find a nook or a cranny where they could build a nest and find their rest in the house of God. And the psalmist thinks of that. And he says, my heart longs to go up to the house of God, to be with God's people, and to reflect on the great things He has done, and to find my rest in Him. When I was in Vietnam, I remember how it felt when it came time to go for just a very few days to Hawaii to meet my wife. And I longed with all my heart for those few days. And sometimes when the holidays come around and we're away from home, we think to ourselves how good it's going to be together at home with our family. See, that's the heart of the psalmist. That's his longing to be in the courts of God, to be with the people of God, to offer up his sacrifices to the living God. And then he says in verse 4, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. How blessed are they who dwell in your house, O God. And it was only the priests who could go into the inner sanctuaries. And the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer sacrifice. And the New Testament tells us, dear friends, that we are a holy nation. We are a kingdom of priests. And we have the privilege of going into the holy sanctuary of God and being there with Him. And He with us. That's what God calls us to. Well, what does the New Testament say about some of these things? I'd like to turn to a couple of texts in the New Testament. The first one has reference to the idea that we looked at in Exodus. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 through 17. I read those other verses, or verse 14 and following, so we get the context a little bit. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Or the tabernacle of God? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we... See, here's the striking note, it seems to me, in the text. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, there's the note from Exodus. And the connection of the New Testament church with the Old Testament temple and the Old Testament tabernacle. For we are the temple of the living God. Now you have to get the idea of what was taking place among the Corinthians here. This is in 2 Corinthians. This was a letter written to the church at Corinth. And this was toward the end of the first century. So you would understand, would you not, that they didn't have email in those days, right? And they didn't have postal service in those days. They didn't have typewriters in those days. What's that? What's a typewriter? They didn't have the kind of communication that we have. And when the handwritten letter came to the church at Corinth, the people were gathered together in one body, and the letter was read to the people in the church. And so they were all together. And when they were all together like we are, not sitting individually in their homes. You see, we get the idea that this is individualistic. We get the idea that this means that each one of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about that. That's true. But there's a different emphasis here. Paul says in verse 16, we, plural, are the temple, singular, of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell among them. We are the temple. We are the dwelling place of God. We are that tabernacle in which God dwelt. And we offer up our sacrifices of praise to God with our lips. And God speaks to us in and through His Word by the power of His Spirit. And we meet with God as we are together. You see, that's the emphasis. And then there's another text in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2. Would you turn there with me? I know, I got you wandering around in the Bible here. Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul's talking to another church. And you need to get this corporate, collective idea in your head here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Hello. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. The whole building, the whole church of Jesus Christ is being built into a holy temple in the Lord. And there's a tremendous picture that's being given to us here. Because, dear friends, we are not alone. We are with thousands and myriads of others who have gone before us. And we are not meeting alone on this Lord's Day morning. We are with thousands who are scattered across the earth. And we are all together with them and those who have preceded us into heaven. We are all together with them being built into a glorious temple in the Lord. I'd just love to go to the book of Revelation and talk about that some more. Because it's a tremendous picture that God gives us. And then, however, look at the last verse in Ephesians chapter 2. I'll read verses 21 and 22 together. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. The whole building. And then Paul speaks to the church at Ephesus. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You also, you dear friends, you plural, are being built into a dwelling place in the Spirit. God is fashioning you. You are living stones being built into a spiritual house, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God dwells in His temple. God comes and meets with His people in His temple. It's not the building. It's us. It's you and me. Living stones. Being compacted together. Just look around at one another. Who are we? We're loved of Jesus Christ. And He's taking us and He's making us into a holy dwelling place. And in that dwelling place, He meets with us. And we offer our sacrifices to Him, our praise. And He speaks to us. That's you and me. That's what Paul's telling us. Let me try and draw the picture a little differently. In Ephesians 2, verse 19, it says, we're fellow citizens with the saints. We have a new citizenship. Oh yeah, you may claim to be a citizen of Kansas, a citizen of the United States, but your real citizenship is heaven. That's your homeland. And you're here in this world, in an embassy, which is heavenly territory, being constructed by God in this world. And we're ambassadors for Christ. And when we come into the embassy, we're on holy ground. Not because it's a church building that has this kind of carpet, but but because it's God's people meeting with Him to hear Him and to offer praise to Him. Psalm 84. See, here's the longing of the heart of the psalmist and the root of his reason for being. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. How lovely, O Lord of hosts, are your dwelling places. How lovely is your church, Lord Jesus Christ. And how I long to go up and meet with the people of God and to be with you and to hear you and to sing to you. That's the message. That's the message. And I pray, oh dear friends, in Jesus Christ, that we will have the vision of the Church of Jesus Christ as the special dwelling place of God. And our automatic, our instantaneous response will be, oh, how I long to be in your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, work in our hearts by the power of your Spirit through the instrumentality of your word to bring home your truth, your life, your love in us. And may we, as the psalmist, declare in our hearts, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. And may we also, dear Father, declare with our feet, our souls, our hearts, and our flesh long to be with you in your courts. Grant it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.